The Vodcast.
I'm just a simple man trying to make my way in the universe.
I can bring you in warm, or I can bring you in cold.
He's no good to me dead.
Yo, what up? It's your boy Jacepticeye. I'm out here. You're listening to The Vodcast. Let's go.
It's Alejandro Sparrowfett. Bring on those milkshakes and Twi'leks.
And it's Buddha, a.k.a. Buddha Fett, a.k.a. Don't At Me.
So to get you started here, folks, we're the Vodcast, no introductions needed. I'm Sparrow Fett, and with me as always, we have Buddha. We're not going to go through the episode and discuss all the different things. Obviously, we're not going to review it and everything like that. Everybody's seen this, and obviously, who doesn't see a finale? I mean, if you haven't watched the finale, why the hell are you listening to the Vodcast, right?
100%.
Buddha.
I have my own little monologue ready to go when you're done.
I want to hear your monologue because this is more close to your heart than mine. I mean, the first thing I thought about when I was watching this was I was thinking about you. I was thinking about you when I watched the episode, for sure. So tell me, give me the monologue.
Chapter 16, The Rescue. Let's put it this way. I'm going to say it. I'm going to come right out and say it. This title wasn't about Luke Skywalker coming to rescue Grogu. This is about Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni rescuing Star Wars. This is what we've been asking for since the acquisition. This is everything Star Wars fans wanted. And I do, in fact, love Rogue One. And I do, in fact, love Solo. But the sequel trilogies just didn't do it. It didn't capture what Star Wars is, what Star Wars was, and what The Mandalorian is showing us. And that is just reality. You could defend the sequels until you're blue in the face. You could defend the characters that no one cares about to the end of time. Right? And the reality is The Mandalorian does so much with so little that there's nothing that can be said. I think the only analogy I can make is I understand now what it felt to be 18, 19 years old, even younger. I mean, you know, any age in 1977 and walking out of that movie theater, A New Hope, for the first time. That feeling that captured everything about imagination, love, joy, happiness, sadness. How you can have so many emotions wrapped into one singular episode for 40 minutes, plus what we got at the end. That's Star Wars, right? We didn't need a Rey in this, right? We have characters who need help, who need to learn on the way, who develop, who become stronger over time, but still have their weaknesses, right? We have Luke Skywalker, again, you know, literally and figuratively, right? We have the hero at the belly of the beast. We have the hero's redemption. We have the hero changing over time. And I truly, honestly believe that we have been rescued. We had a moment in this episode. I think a lot of movies, a lot of directors, a lot of people have tried to capture of this idea of a strong woman character, where you have all of a sudden in The Mandalorian, we have four women characters who have seen quite the development. You know, Fennec, for example, what she has become, right, with the help of, you know, her owing a debt to Boba Fett. We have Cara Dune, who's now the Marshal. We have Cosca Reeves, and we have Bo-Katan, right? We know the struggle of Bo-Katan and the Mandalorian people, right? We have seen Cara Dune, you know, feel that pain of losing Alderaan, right? We have now four strong, relatable woman characters who for 20 minutes we watch kick ass. There's no other way to put it.
Oh, yeah.
Right? It wasn't, and at no time did it feel forced or in your face or, yeah, women power, right? Like it did in the Avengers, right? In Endgame. This felt natural. It felt real and you didn't care that they're all women, right?
Yeah.
And all that, all the storytelling, the mythology, just Luke f-ing Skywalker coming back and that mirroring what we saw in Rogue One in the hallway, a father and son. Oh. We had for the first time, really, if you really think about it, first time in Disney Star Wars where you had a situation with the Dark Troopers who we just saw kick the ass of Din, right? They kicked the Mandalorian's ass.
Love
right.
It.
And if there was more than one, Mando has no chance, right? In that situation.
Yeah. It was very Terminator-ish, right?
Yeah. That impending doom. We didn't know what was going to happen, right? We didn't know if anyone or if who was coming to rescue. And when you saw the X-Wing, you kind of just knew.
Oh my God. Okay. It's happening. Everybody stay calm.
What's the procedure, everyone? What's the procedure?
Stay calm.
Right. And for me, the ignition of the lightsaber, right? That green Return of the Jedi lightsaber. And watching Luke strike down all the Dark Troopers, you just realize how weak. Just think for a second how weak the Mandalorian is, and think of how weak, I would almost say Ahsoka could be, compared to it. Right, Luke just went in there and mowed down Dark Troopers like it was nothing. So I think honestly we have been rescued, and I think honestly as Star Wars fans, we had a lot to be thankful for because we have been. We just got CPR by Dave Filoni and Jon Favreau, and we're alive, and we're here. And all those excuses for toxic, there are some toxic parts of Star Wars fans, and I think that will always remain because there's toxic fans everywhere. But the idea that Star Wars fans were toxic, not because of how much they love something, how much they want to see that succeed, but they were blamed on racism, sexism, right? All those other things. That's not true. And we've seen it in The Mandalorian. We saw it in Rogue One, right? I don't know what else to say other than we've been rescued. That has been my opinion since I watched it. And I've been an absolute, just kind of cloud nine.
Yeah.
Right?
That's it. You know, that's what I thought to myself as I said, I haven't had this feeling from Star Wars. Because I was born in 1980. And Booty, you're a little younger than I am, but I was born in 1980. And yeah. I had to watch Empire Strikes Back. Here's the funny thing is that I didn't get to watch A New Hope. I watched it from Empire Strikes Back to Return of the Jedi. And I actually got to watch Battle of Endor, which was the Ewok movie, before I even watched A New Hope. Remember, we didn't have the technology. Yeah. We didn't have the ability, nor did I have the, I was a kid. I didn't have the wherewithal to ask my dad, where's the first Star Wars movie? Like, I didn't know that. I was like 5, 6, 7 years old. I didn't see A New Hope until I was all the way through till I pretty much was like 14 years old. Like I knew that there was another movie, but I couldn't get it until it was like, say on TV or VHS or something. We didn't have DVDs.
Yeah.
Right.
The first release with Power of the Force 2, I believe.
That must've been it. So, yeah, oh, now I remember. I think I have it somewhere in storage, but it was a box set. It was redone. It wasn't the special edition that you got to see in like
the black,
in '97.
Blue and silver.
Right. And what was funny?
It came out in 1995 with the release of the Power of the Force 2, I believe.
Right. And so
figures. Remember the Power of the Force 2?
I didn't get the same experience as you, Buddha. And I had to rewatch it, but I get it. I got it.
But have we gone over my first experience with Star Wars on the show? I know we did with Lady Fat.
I don't know if we went.
Because mind you, I was born.
You were born a little hard.
1989.
Yeah, 1989. So it would have been more like
1989.
So tell me. I'm actually a little lost myself. And
yeah.
It could be the extra extra drink I had to make for myself because of the technical difficulties.
So I'll tell you what. Okay, so 1989 I was born. I grew up, really, the first thing I was into was Turtles, right? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and of course, Power Rangers. Right, yeah. My mom was always a big sci-fi fan. Right, she always liked to read and got me into, obviously all the fandoms I'm into. But I think the first thing I remember really growing up with my mom, and my time frames can be totally wrong, right? But the first thing I really grew up with my mom was X-Files.
Right.
And when 1995 came, right, and those figures were released, I remember walking to Toys R Us very distinctly, right? Walking to Toys R Us. My mom going, oh, wait, these are Star Wars toys. And when that box set came out, it was around that same time, I believe, that those action figures came out. So for me, I kind of played with Star Wars action figures right away without first seeing the movies. And when I saw the movies at home for the first time, I really don't know if I remember what I was seeing, right? And for me, the lightsaber battles were the best because as a six-year-old, I had Luke Skywalker and toy Darth Vader, had Slave One, Boba Fett, and an X-Wing. But for me, that was my first experience, right? Seen on VHS at home. I remember I actually wore out the ending of Return of the Jedi on my VHS because at the time that was my favorite movie of all three. So not a lot of people know that. I literally ran that tape out at the end because if you remember VHS. So, and then when the special editions came out, it was announced that George Lucas was going to make another movie, blah, 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 blah. They released the special editions in theater. So I remember seeing all three original when the movies were re-released in theater. And to me, that was incredible. I still remember it. But then I also remember seeing The Phantom Menace, and I remember seeing all the other movies at midnight with my mom. And then the next day we'd go looking for action figures. So that was like a common thing I did with my mom. So I've always been, I felt like a deep personal connection to, midnight viewings of movies and things of that nature. But I grew up loving the prequels. I grew up loving the original trilogy, right? So for me, I feel like I'm a kid again. And I felt those moments where in The Mandalorian, especially this last episode, where it took me 3-4 views to really love it, to really understand it. And yeah, so I've had Star Wars basically since I was in my life since I was 6 years old. And I finally feel that excitement I had probably leaving Revenge of the Sith, remembering how amazing that was, right? So it's been a couple of years, because Rogue One, you knew it was going to happen. And seeing Darth Vader in the hallway doesn't really bring that movie up to A New Hope or, Revenge of the Sith example for what that was. Right. So in Solo, you knew that Han and Chewie were going to get together. So there really wasn't a moment in that in Solo. But Solo was it's a good Star Wars movie. It's not a factor, just like Rogue One.
Right.
So, Star Wars movies are judged based on the trilogies. So what I've had in the past 10, 8 years has been trash compared to The Mandalorian. And,
but did you think we were going to get it from The Mandalorian? From the last
episode. Get what?
Where we're going to get that.
The show itself?
No. The revitalization. You thought you were going to get that out of a movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think the revitalization happened after season one. When you see little girls, little boys, teenage women, not teenage women, adult women, right? buying on social media, buying Grogu. And you see everyone wearing the shirts. And you can't find one damn action figure on the shelf.
No, the whole feeling. No, you can't do it. I know you have a soft spot for Grogu, for the child.
But I'm saying, since season one, I think we're back. We're back, baby. Right? We're just back.
I didn't think we were back until now. This episode did it for me.
Oh, I can see that. Yeah, I can see how you feel that. Yeah, sure.
I'm in a different I'm sorry, a different generation. So. Going back to I didn't get the same
I get it.
I didn't get the same experience as, say, people who, like Lady Fett, who had their dad show them the trilogy, the original, their dad showed them the original trilogy and got into it in the same way. I had to skip around. I had to find my love. I felt the way I felt, and I kind of tell my brother this, because, like, you ever watch the end of an Harry Potter movie? It's kind of feels like Christmas is ending or something like that. I don't know. It's weird like that.
You're not wrong. I know exactly.
I know. You're right. It's like Christmas is ending. Cool. Like, because there's like that Christmas feeling. They have that Christmas feeling, especially the first three or four movies. They have that Christmassy feeling, right?
Yeah.
Well, I felt that way about a movie when watching Return of the Jedi. But I really had, like, The Godfather, like, say, for instance, those two movies, right? They made them two together like that, right? So for me, when I grew up, yes, I had to watch Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi all together. So that was my Godfather, right? It's,
yeah, fair.
It's not like, you know, so eventually I had to catch up by watching A New Hope. My issue, or not issue or anything like that, is just my Christmas ending feeling was when Darth Vader passed, and everybody was at the end there kind of clapping and everything, like with the old yeah. Finnish music. Yeah. And
the old song.
I could pull it up on YouTube and everything like that. It's been redone three times. The old Ewok.
Yeah.
You know, I do like the third one. The third one does kind of give me some tears, though, because I have a buddy here in Tampa that does some videos, and he did the Celebration Orlando in 4K. It was freaking amazing. I have to share it on my I'm going to share it with the vodcast. I'm going to share it on my Sparrow
Underscore. We don't do free ads here.
I'm telling you, it's not worth a free ad. It's it's good. It's really good. And I love that. I love the feeling that this last episode gave me with Luke. And you know what? I hope they do a Rogue One redo. Like, for instance, they even redo on episode one. They added Yoda as CG versus a puppet, yeah, you know, like a Muppet what's his name? If you actually watch, that's actually good. If you, if anybody listening obviously is going to watch some stuff, I implore you to go find an old DVD of episode one with the featurette, the making of episode one, freaking amazing. McCollum is one of the producers. He's amazing too. But you get to see Frank Oz actually doing the work with Yoda in episode one. It's good stuff. But eventually they have to take that out because they have to do the special edition of episode one now. I'm thinking, wouldn't you do the special edition of Rogue One, do it like a 5-year or 10-year retool, and just tweak a little bit of the movements and mannerisms?
I disagree with you.
Moff Tarkin was okay.
Right.
Look how good they did. Look, okay. Like 5 years ago, they had Rogue One. 5 years later, look how much better Luke looked in Mandalorian.
I don't listen. I just think movies should reflect. I just think movies should reflect the period and time they're in. Right. And
okay.
I don't like.
Oh, all right. So you didn't agree all that stuff with retouching?
I like Puppet Yoda.
I like Puppet Yoda.
I think.
Oh, he did. Yeah.
Listen here. I think with episode. Okay, so here's what I think about Yoda and a little offshoot. Because we really got to circle back to the Mandalorian. Because we haven't talked about Boba Fett yet, right?
No. Makes sense.
All right. So here's the thing. I think at the end of the day, they didn't want to puppet Yoda for episode 2 and 3, not because of the two lightsaber duels, right? Because I think we would just focus on that CGI or done the Yoda verse. You could have done the duels differently, is my point, right? Especially between Dooku and Yoda. You didn't need to do all that weird backflip, weird shit, right? Why do you even gotta pull lightsabers out, right? So
you got to pull lightsabers out because everybody likes lightsabers.
I just say keep everything original. I hate this whole idea of going back and touching things. Because guess what? This is going to sound really random. If any movie needed to be edited out, gone back and retouched or edited, it's definitely the original Power Rangers movie. Because that movie is...
Oh, okay. We're good. All right. I'll let you have your soapbox a minute here with Power Rangers. No, please.
The Power Rangers movie was lit, right? If you are 10 years old, right, you get Zordon dying in the first 10 minutes, right? That's like watching Transformers. Optimus Prime is dead within the first 10 minutes of the movie. So Zordon's dead, right? The Zords are gone. Right, the Thunder Megazord is gone, bro. Right, and Ivan Ooze is a pretty—he scared the shit out of me. Right,
I want to ruin your childhood. All right, so Ivan Ooze.
That's fine.
All right, so this is good. So this is how bad you can go. So you remember, Balak. From the actor was Paul Freeman, Indiana Jones. That was Ivan Ooze.
Is it Paul Freeman?
What a fall. Yeah. What a fall.
First of all, hold on. First of all, come on. At that time that movie came out, like that, I don't think nobody would have recognized him in the box office. I don't think the movie did bad in the box office.
No, the movie didn't do bad and bad. I agree.
I don't think
that was a phenomenon at the time. Who was it? I went to go see it. I went to go see it with my little brother. My little brother's your age, so I took him to go see that movie.
All I am saying, to make the most recent remake of Power Rangers made the same mistake with the Megazord. The Megazord makes the Power Rangers different, right? That is just reality. The kids don't want to see people in spandex fighting the whole episode. They want to see fucking robots. So the first.
I wish Jay was on this because I would have said, bring on the same people that did Robot Jocks.
Listen. Right? The Ninja Megazord. So, first of all, let me go back. He had a cool villain. He had the cool sequence intro of the Power Rangers all transformed and morphed, and met Ivan Ooze's like henchman for the first time. Ivan Ooze is a scary villain, right? Zordon's dead or dying. All that, like, halfway in, and you're like, oh my God. But then you throw, like a Amazonian woman wearing a bikini who's an absolute rocket, helping the Power Rangers find their ninja powers and get new Zords to help save Zordon. And then they come back to Earth ready to kick Ivan Ooze's ass. And those are the Megazords you give me. Bro, are you fucking kidding me? I was, even as a fucking kid, I knew that was some horseshit.
Yeah, it was horrible. Somebody was getting fired in the visual effects. They do have to go back and redo that.
That's all I'm saying. Go back, redo that. And, right, if you're going to do that, if you're going to re-edit movies, that's why I just disagree with them. Just don't edit your movies. Like, I think with Zach, I know it sounds awful. I think maybe... I just don't like it. That's all. I'm sorry. We went on a tangent. Please don't. Honestly, don't edit that out. I love that kind of talk. But, right, let's not touch it. So I think with Luke Skywalker here, he looked good. Right? It tugged on those heartstrings, didn't it, though?
It really did. It got me. I was on, and I was the type of guy. You weren't going to do better than Rogue One. And somebody must have been listening to me. Or somebody knew that I was going to be watching. And you had a Rogue One-esque style ending. In a good way. You knew that Darth Vader was going to be part of the story in some way with Rogue One.
Yep.
Because you saw the previews.
Yeah.
If you saw the previews, you weren't living under a rock, and you were a diehard fan, you were going to watch Rogue One. you saw that Darth Vader was going to be part of it. You just didn't know how.
Yeah.
I have my rant about that, by the way. I'll get to it when I'm done. But you took that part, and that was that secret ingredient. There was a lot of good stuff in Rogue One that you have to take. And I implore Star Wars to do the next chapter, like say the in between ESB and ROTJ, kind of like a Shadows of the Empire or the Botham spy story, whatever that might be. I think that would be a great move. That use that same recipe. They took a piece of that recipe and they won me. Throughout the vodcast, I said, no, the Mandalorian has not gotten to the same level as Rogue One. Rogue One is the standard. Rogue One is the formula. If you're going to make a new Star Wars movie in this era, you have to follow that. It's gritty. It's dirty, but it's still Star Wars. And it's got the characters. You sprinkle a few new things and you give us a few other things. It's like that character depth and that and Filoni and Favreau, mostly Favreau, I'm going to give the credit to Favreau, knew that. He found that formula. He said, well, I'm going to take that. I'm going to run with it. And he's a good storyteller. I just watched Elf for the first time, all the way through. I'm like, oh, shit, that made me fall in love with Christmas again. Favreau knows what to do. Favreau is a storyteller, like Lucas. You don't have good storytellers like Lucas. Now we found Favreau. I don't have a defense. I'm defenseless right now. I don't know what to say. I don't have anything bad to say about the last episode or anything that I have faith for what's coming out next. Sure, we're going to get disappointed in something, I'm sure, but we're going to have mostly good shit come out.
We got to figure out what is Din doing with the Darksaber, and is he going to kill Bo-Katan?
We
have a lot more story to be told here.
There's a lot more story to be told, and we should do a supplemental vodcast next week just to cover all of it because there's so much to cover. Think about it. We've got the Darksaber.
No,
because let's go back to what and Giancarlo, you can't kill that character. You can't not have that character in the next Mandalorian. I mean, he's really strong. There's a reason why he's in other episodes. Other storylines, other series. The guy is a great bad guy. No, he's always going to be a bad guy. You're going to have to see what happens to him. You're going to have to see what happens to Cara Dune. There's so much open-ended stuff. I mean, we're all assuming, and everybody's putting out these little memes about where Grogu gets killed by Kylo Ren and the...
I saw that.
What do we got to say about that?
That is hilarious.
So there's gonna be Grogu's gonna get his own spinoff. We're hoping that, right, for Buddha's sake.
I don't.
What if Grogu gets? All right.
Remember, I don't need to know about Grogu. Owns this. Right now, I don't. Grogu, I don't need to know about. I just need to know about Grogu and make sure Kylo Ren doesn't touch a hair on his head. Okay, that's the story for another day. Yes,
I love it. I think that the second drink is.
I want more.
The second drink on my end over here is.
I want
is kind
more,
of
more. I want more of Cara Dune. I want more.
Fennec. All right, I think that will work.
I want more of Fennec.
Not only.
I want more
Fennec or Fett.
Fennec. Oh yeah, Fennec.
Oh yeah, yeah. Fennec is good. I mean, she was Chung Li. She was Chung Li in the Street Fighter movie with Van Damme.
I know. I looked that up before. And I need a little more.
That's gonna be a household name in the next few years.
I need a little more Kitty O'Brien as the comms officer, aka is she Sabine?
Is she right. Sabine? There's a sign. I just met my new neighbor that's building their house, and her name was Sabine.
Oh, that's a
sign.
And Jupiter Saturn today aligning. It's a sign. That's Sabine.
It's a sign.
That's
Sabine.
That is Sabine.
No, I met her today, and I was telling her about the best places to watch because they were building their house. And I said, hey, your house is exactly ground zero if you walk over here to watch all the rocket launches from Cape Canaveral.
Yeah. So
you got to back up over to our driveway to watch it.
And Bo-Katan is freaking awesome, right? I need more of that, right? I need more Katie in my life, too. So I need those women in my life. I need to know
that Disney is going to deliver.
I swear to God, I hope
their butter is breaded, or you know what I mean. Bread is butter.
I just hope Cara Dune's in the Rangers of the New Republic. If everything,
you know, that she's going to be.
Oh yeah, she better be.
Now, no, whoa, and not to offend, and I was like asterisks right here. We're not offending anybody. I talked to my wife about this and everything.
Listen, stop. I'm just saying, Cara
looks good. Cara Dune, Gina still looks good.
All I'm saying,
I mean, this girl can pull it off.
Is right. All I'm saying is that I think every single Star Wars fan wants those stories because they're good stories, right?
It's good stories.
It's not, you know what I mean? Like, it is what it is. I need to know what happens to them. I need to know what happens with Grandma, Moth Gideon. I need to know. I didn't know who they were doing experiments on. So honestly, I'm glad Grogu's storyline is done for a time, right?
Wait, yeah, it takes a distraction away, doesn't it? Yeah,
because now we're out of babysitting.
It takes it away.
Now, you know,
he gets killed by Kylo Ren. We understand that.
I've come here to chew bubble gum and kick some ass. And I'm all out chewing bubble gum.
Who's doing that? Who's kicking ass and chewing bubble gum?
Din? I'm okay. Here to bring this kid back to the Jedi and kick some ass. And
all right, so let's Jedi. So let's go.
That's all I'm saying.
Let me get back on a track here. Yeah, so
we're lost in the woods with a couple.
No. So let's go to Brendan Wayne. So I follow Brendan Wayne.
He broke the news.
He doesn't have as many followers as our last interviewee.
Are you nerd flexing for Wasted Fet right now? Are you nerd f***ing for Wasted Fet right now?
I just mentioned him once.
No, I'm
okay. Saying, but listen,
this person obviously has more followers than Wayne. You know, John Wayne.
No, and then Jay Septicon, our toy guy, our food guy. Founder,
he's
45. He's moving. He's fine. He's in ground zero. He's in New Jersey. Give the guy a break.
You can't use that word for any reference inside the tri-state area. You can't call that ground zero. That's offensive.
Oh, it's offensive to call the tri-state area ground zero?
Yeah, it kind of is.
It's ground f***ing zero.
Squidward. I. That's the point. I don't think you're not supposed to call that.
Listen, if y'all want to write to me, my P.O. box is P.O. box 8.
I'm f***ed up and I saw that coming.
Oh, this is good stuff. Like, so anyway, let's go to Brendan Wayne.
Yeah.
So
I'm sure Katie O'Brien has a much more interesting Instagram page.
Let me get to Brendan Wayne. So no spoilers, but in case the world didn't know yet, at Pascal is Punk, Pedro Pascal, is incredible. This journey they wrote for him this season was so beautiful. The fact that Pedro went beyond the page and made this epic. Thank you, Pedro Pascal, or at Pascal is Punk. Yes, Pedro is coming back. So, update, Pedro is coming back. So, listen, it doesn't take much to figure out where the money's being made. Obviously, Pedro's not stupid. Filoni, Disney, Kennedy, they've got some checkbooks, right? Money can solve a lot of things, and money will come. Now, he says, yes, Pedro is coming back, and awesome, obviously. For whatever reason, Brendan Wayne can't really insta that well. There was never any question. Don't believe anything you read, everything you read. Now let's get ready for WWE. Obviously, he's plugging WWE 84, which is this Wonder Woman film. Pedro's not hurting for anything. But the thing is that he's never really been the A guy, right? He's never really been the center. This is his chance to have his own character, to build from that. Every character's dream about that. If you guys watch Empire of Dreams, you know what it's like to be Harrison Ford at the age of 32 and saying, oh man, my career is starting now. At the age of 32, or 30, 31, 32, and he had just done A New Hope. And the next movie he does is Empire Strikes Back. He really didn't have the work. Then, because of the people that he was working with, he started doing Indiana Jones. His career didn't start off. Remember, Hollywood was a lot different back in 70, 80. Arnold Schwarzenegger couldn't get a job to save his life. He had to actually make a documentary to get a job as Conan, the Barbarian. You guys like, it was actually Ron Howard. You had guys like Pacino, 5'7", 5'8", 150-pound guy.
Our short king.
Woody Allen. Those were the guys getting the jobs. And then you had Arnold Schwarzenegger. No. Nobody wants to see you in Hollywood. And then he told a film director, said, you're going to be begging to be in my, you're going to be begging me to be in your movies. And he was f-ing right. And then remember, Harrison Ford was this hunky dude. No, nobody wanted to work with him up until after Empire Strikes Back. And then that's after he did Indiana Jones. Then everybody started wanting to work with him. Pascal knows what he's doing. He is the next Han Solo. He is the next Indiana Jones. He is the next. If he doesn't pick this up, and if he doesn't play right, I mean, okay. Let's pretend that Filoni, that Kennedy and Favreau gave him a burger to eat. This is Hollywood. This is Disney. You eat that burger and you say, can I have another? You know where your bread is buttered. You know where this is taking you. Now, let's go back. They can't have The Mandalorian without Pedro Pascal. They're going to know the next voice. They're going to know the next person. If he doesn't show his face, women, men, everybody's going to know. They're going to take the time to renegotiate all this stuff with pandemic bullshit, blah, 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 blah. Pedro Pascal is going to be a staple. In Hollywood. And Pedro Pascal is going to be a staple for The Mandalorian. And he's never going to have to work again if he does two or three more seasons. You agree? He's never going to have to work again.
I mean, I'm sure his royalty checks from the Game of Thrones ain't hurting him.
Right? All right, let's think about another guy that's got three trilogies or something. Two trilogies under his belt. Orlando Bloom.
Yeah.
Does he ever have to work again? Does he ever have to work again?
Yeah, no, but he does.
No.
What good?
He works because he's bored.
He's married to Katy Perry, isn't he? How can he be bored?
Well, when she's pregnant, you got to get bored.
Yeah, but you're in like six fucking Lord of the Rings movies.
Ladies, who you pregnant, ladies, I love you. He's but in like seriously, six. Though. Yeah, but it's Katy Perry, though. It's Katy Perry. It's, you know. It's not the Laura Lee, but at least it's Katy Perry.
Oh, God. Let me go have another drink.
Ah! This is when it gets good.
Listen, all I'm saying, you're right, but you know, why is Harrison Ford still working?
Because he's Indiana Jones, he's f***ing Han Solo, and he was bored. In Blade Runner.
He must be bored.
He is. No, he's bored. He is bored, not, and you give him not, money.
He can't, if he's not flying in the golf fields, golf courses, right? During, you know, on an
airplane. Nah, he's f***ing with aircraft and controllers for shit.
I know you're right, too. Listen, Harrison Ford, dreamboat, but like, he doesn't need to be
acting, you know? He's got to make those air traffic controllers nervous, right?
He got in trouble with the FAA once because he mistook an air, like a landing strip. For like one of those like the
candy commercial ones, right?
Yeah, and he almost like clipped a commercial plane. But
whoops.
Yeah. But no, I don't know. Like You're just thinking,
oh, that's not, you know, okay, you just take the right, you know, think about a scale. Think about a scale. You park in somebody else's parking spot.
Up until Friday, Pedro Pascal, who really knew, who would recognize his face, right, and say, oh, you're in the Mandalorian. I don't think a lot, because it's been 30 seconds.
Unless you were a diehard for Game of Thrones.
That's what I'm saying. I think maybe, like, I just don't know if he's that star power as you say he is so far. Like, listen, you're right. He's never going to have his agent be like Leslie Jones, right? His agent, like, can you imagine being Leslie mm-hmm. Jones' agent? Like, that is a tough mm-hmm. look. Like, you come out of SNL hot, right? You're kind of, you know, funny. And then mm-hmm. you go in Ghostbusters, which, I'm sorry, don't be the token person in that movie.
Oh.
And then.
Oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. Let's talk about that a minute. After so Ghostbusters. This is our last finale. This is the finale. We have to bring up stuff. We have to bring up stuff. This is our finale, so to speak. We got to bring up a new season, and we'll talk to our fearless leader of what we're gonna review next. Let's talk about Leslie Jones. So I like getting into these what we call like rabbit holes. And my favorite app against I am the IMDb rabbit hole guy. I'm the fat checker. Let's go to Leslie Jones. So all of a sudden, I was trying to find something on and James Earl Jones and how old he was. He's 89 years old. And so all of a sudden, you go on Google, and of course, Google is going to tell you, like, James Earl Jones. And it said James Earl Jones. And then the next thing it said was James Earl Jones Coming to America 2.
Yeah, like, it comes out this week.
What? Is it? No, it's this March 5th or some shit.
Oh, it was. Okay.
Well, I read the article, and let's see, because obviously the pandemic, they've given half the rights obviously to Amazon. So Amazon's going to be distributing that. Coming to America 2, we got Leslie Jones coming into that. So I was like, Leslie Jones just still got work. I think Leslie Jones got some sort of, to be honest, she ain't no Grace Jones, obviously. But for whatever reason, people want to see her in the movies. And she's going to be in – and I don't know if people listening to this say, I'm a huge, huge fan. And this is what's weird. My parents didn't do a very good job parenting me. I feel like when that movie came out, I watched it in theaters, Coming to America. And I was like, oh, my God. This is like the
funniest thing ever. She's in this movie.
She's in it. She's in Coming to America. That's pedigree. You got to be doing something good in order to be in. You're going to be in.
Listen, her agent must be in. Like, come on.
Leslie Jones is funny. Leslie Jones is funny. You don't like Leslie Jones?
Our heart attack's funny. she's horrid. Not funny.
I saw her in. You know what? I saw her in this. Is in this. In this skit on SNL, obviously it's SNL. A lot of good people get their start in SNL on Saturday Night Live.
Name me one original skit from SNL in the past 5 years that anyone gives a shit about.
That's mean, Buddha. 5 years is too short.
10 years. When's the last time SNL was relevant? It hasn't been 25 years.
Give me some time. Give me some time. I'll give you some relevancy.
They have fucking Kel on it right now.
Right? You know, it does take some time.
When was Good Burger out?
Good Burger. No, that wasn't an SNL. That was Nickelodeon.
No, my point is, my point is, you have the kid from fucking Good Burger on your current and relevant cast of SNL this year. That guy was relevant back in the late 90s.
Yeah, but Good Burger is still Bill is still doing shit and everything like that. You still watch Good Burger, but the thing is, he knows what he's doing. Good Burger
is for fucking children. I want to watch SNL. I want it to be edgy. I want it to be funny. And it's none of those things, right? Mm-hmm. And the only time they get edgy is when they have a guest on, like Bill. You want to have that Mandalorian connection?
Maybe Pedro will make SNL.
So going back to Leslie Jones, the Ghostbusters, and man, that was it. So her agent's like, man, you want to go do the Angry Birds movie? She's like, yeah, I guess. And right, and then she's an extra. She's not even an actress. She's not even a character. She's like a background dancer, I guess, in I'm in America. But man, like, can you imagine her agent? Like, yeah, she's like, oh, hey, do you have a movie for me? He's like, no. I have these AT&T commercials you could do the voiceover for. And then I got Angry Birds 2 for you. Hey,
listen, she's got to get her better agent. Leslie Jones, if you're listening, get a better agent.
The fact that she is the guest on The Price is not The Price is Right, Supermarket Sweep right now tells you
she's the host.
Yeah, she is a pretty good agent for getting jobs right now. It's a pandemic, and she ain't funny.
Well, it is the pandemic. We can't judge.
She was funny right before the pandemic, and sure as the sun will rise in the east and set in the west, she sure as ain't gonna be funny after the pandemic. This shit didn't make her any funnier.
Okay, we'll have to see what she comes out like in Coming to America 2. Let me go back to Disney, our love. You and I are Disney boys. We are Disney boys. We live very close to Disney. Eddie Murphy did a horrible redo. I'm glad that it didn't come out of anything or didn't ruin Disney stuff. But they did a movie. Eddie Murphy did a Haunted Mansion movie. And that was awesome. Eddie Murphy is very close to my heart because I grew up in the 80s. I watched Coming to America. I watched a lot of good Eddie Murphy stand-up films. Good Eddie Murphy stand-up.
Beverly Hills Cop 2.
And I love Eddie Murphy. I want him to succeed.
He is.
And he's not starving. He's not looking for handouts or anything like that. He's living off.
I think I know where you're going with this,
but I want him to do a good film. His films has sucked. His agency has sucked. F-ing Pluto Mars. What?
Listen. Adam Sandler and Eddie Murphy made some movies in the late 90s and the early 2000s.
SNL. There's an SNL curse. Do you agree?
Oh, money. No. They took the dude. You how much money Adam Sandler makes a year from Netflix deals?
I gotta watch that. I gotta watch whatever.
Not from Broken Gems. Broken Gems is amazing. I'm talking about his producing company that makes all those movies.
Oh, I'm not.
They're not hurting for money.
I don't care. I want them for their artistic value. I remember
back 30 years ago.
Yes, remember, I'm nostalgic. I remember watching these guys. I remember Mr. Robinson Neighborhood, like with SNL. I remember the Gumby skits with Eddie Murphy. I remember Eddie Murphy before he was Eddie Murphy. And I remember...
You knew Eddie Murphy before he was commercialized.
Right, and I remember Adam Sandler before all that commercial bullshit.
Before he was cleaned up and
I love you, Mama, more than golf with Arnold Palmer. We were so off the rails, Buddha. I mean, it's the last episode. This is the next episode is what we're gonna talk about.
You haven't obviously haven't talked to the boss yet. Jay and I decided this will probably continue on a bi-weekly basis or weekly with interviews and just shoot the shit with people.
I want to shoot the shit with people.
But at the end of the episode, my God, that was so f-ing good. So good.
So we're going to get the Book of Boba Fett. Let's give everybody what we really want to talk about. The Book of Boba Fett.
I'm not over to Mandalorian yet. I love Boba Fett.
Right.
I've been waiting. Like, when am I going to be disappointed? Like, when is that moment? Am I just having the rug swept underneath me? It hasn't come yet.
We're going to have to wait till December.
Book of Boba Fett, Mandalorian season 3. Jesus. Can I, like, yeah, 2020 has sucked, y'all. But
it's giving us the best Star Wars.
Can we just talk about 2020 really quick?
Yeah.
I'm grateful for 2020.
I'm grateful for 2020 as well. I married my wife. I married my wonderful woman of my dreams. I got my buddies. There's eight of us together. Eight of us all together. We got about five. What, five of us together? Five of our buddies. It was a good. It was a good gathering. We would have had all eight if it wasn't for the pandemic.
But yeah, I mean, I got a new dog. I spent a lot of time with the family. You got married, right? And we've remained healthy, but also the fact that for the first time since 1995, the Buffalo Bills are the AFC East divisional champions. And
you had to bring that up.
Yeah, I did.
Hey, Dubai, when do we play again? You and me? Dolphins?
Last week of season, week 17.
That's going to be good. Maybe we should.
We're on Monday Night Football next week.
We need to get together. We need to talk all sorts of
So let's wrap this up because editing is going to be a bitch. Or I would almost say just don't edit it and let people listen to this.
Let people listen to it. We have a renewal. Buddha and I, if we had Jay on here, he would have agreed. We're going to have a lot more content to review on the podcast. We're going to give you some.
We have the VOD theories, right? And I think we're going to turn this to like an interview because honestly, the best feedback we've had is from our interviews of just having people on and talking.
We have enough. Let me try and get Brendan Wayne. Let me try and get Brendan Wayne.
You can slide into those DMs and listen.
I'll see if we can get Brendan Wayne. We're not. By the way, disclaimer, asterisk. We do not guarantee any people that we're going to interview. We're going to interview Instagram influencers. Brendan Wayne
I think it's people. That's just people that we know on Instagram that are popular. I also think people like Drew, not to like crush his dreams. I think he's 3,000 followers, which is
Drew. I'm just saying, it's sexy. Drew is
sexy.
I want to mix it up,
right? Yeah. That's all.
We're going to bring over some people. We're going to have some content. We're going to have some other stuff. We might have some special edition reviews.
I've heard we're becoming Monday morning routines to listen to.
We're going to have more content. The VODs are going to come together. And then we're going to review more stuff. Drinking a martini. Drinking our crema de vid. Did you want a bottle, Buddha? Did you want some of my Cuban eggnog?
Yes, please.
Oh, man. So good. I'm so excited to keep making this stuff.
I'm just excited for more Mandalorian.
It's going to happen.
It was 3:30 in the morning, and I'm like.
So what do you think? So they're going to bring back the trifecta. So that's going to be Carl Weathers, Gina Carano, Pedro Pascal.
Everyone's coming
back. Got to bring it back to season 3. They know what's good for them. Disney know what's good for them. Those three actors knows what's good for them. We only had one episode with Grief Karga back in there. Obviously, Gina's much better to look at. Obviously, easier on the eyes than Grief Karga. That's why she was in 3-4 episodes more than Grief Karga. She was in more episodes this year than last year, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. That's what I thought. And then, of course, we've got Fennec Shan. And we've got Ming-Hwa. We've got more character development. We've got Bo-Katan. We've got all those extra new characters played by Mercedes, aka Sasha Banks. We've got new stuff. Obviously, we got some spin-ups coming in from. You know, obviously, Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka Tano. There's a lot more to be. We're at ground zero of the new awakening of Star Wars. And you got to be excited. I'm hoping the new trilogy that's being put together is somewhere from the. And we're going to talk about this later as a vodcast. I'm a huge Knights of the Old Republic fan. I've been playing it, making sure that I get every single wrinkle in, and I'm going to be discussing that on the next episode as well, how a lot of this stuff has been borrowed from Knights of the Old Republic. We're going to be talking about how Star Wars is new. This is the new awakening for Star Wars. This is the Force Awakens. Star Wars Awakens from here on.
Yeah! Yeah!
Do you agree, Buddha?
Yeah, like I said, we've been rescued. And now we're getting a Boba Fett show.
We're getting a Boba Fett show.
What the
fuck? I hope it's good. I hope it's good. I hope it's not some just starts off at, you know, where he kills Bib Fortuna. Oh, by the way, guys, that is our boy that played Bib Fortuna. So at the end scene, that if he didn't get to the cut scene, the end credits, that is our boy who played General Grievous, or Revenge of the Sith actor. He does a lot of voices for Star Wars. He does a lot of producing for Star Wars. And he was Bib Fortuna, Matthew Wood. And he and we're trying to figure this out. He was in, obviously, Rogue One sound department for Star Wars. He was in sound department for a lot of things. Obviously, Bib Fortuna in The Mandalorian. And so I'm thinking, was he also the body actor? He was in Bib Fortuna's face stuff and whatever, the costume and the makeup, and also doing the voice. But, you know, there's our guy landing his hand. So I love it. So I can't wait to see what happens with Book of Boba Fett. I'm hoping it gives flashbacks as to how he got out of the Sarlacc pit. How he got his
I want some Empire Strikes Back first. Give me some of that. Maybe let me see the special edition outfit again. Right, give him a head nod. Right, maybe wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Let's see it.
Let's do it.
That's what I want to see. You're right. I want to see a flashback. If Daniel Logan is going to be in this show at all, ever make a comeback, it'll have to be in this moment. Give me a flashback.
Daniel Logan is going to make his comeback. Yeah, this is his chance, right?
Yeah, I mean, if he's not going to be in a flashback, he's not right. That's it. This time's now to be in live action again. But no, you're going to, I want to see some armor flashbacks. I want to see maybe an adventure with the guild, right? And maybe a run in with Vader before, right? You know, that nod from, you know, those old comics. So yeah, give me some flashbacks. Give me what John and Dave know what to do. Give me that.
They know what to do.
Fan service, right? Give me that fan service. And then let me see something kick ass between him and Fennec, right? I'm not talking about romantically, God. I'm talking about like hunting. I mean, if they get romantic, fine, but don't force it. What I'm saying is I want it to be her being badass. And I want to see him, kick some underworld ass. So I don't care if he's good or bad or indifferent. I want to see that. I want a flashback. I want cool action with Fennec. I want a couple original stories in there.
Fennec's,
give me one or two seasons.
Fennec's new popular. I think the girls are going to love Fennec. Fennec is going to be new in the 501st or in the Bounty Hunters Guild. That's going to be a hot new costume. My wife is really excited about it. So that character's got...
So hot right now.
Mm-hmm. So hot right now, right? Anyway, we're going to be available bi-weekly. We're not going away.
No.
Just because of Mandalorian, we're not going away.
Yeah, we could talk so much about Boba Fett.
We're going to have so many other prop reviewers, prop makers, costume makers. We're going to have them available. Hopefully, we get big enough. We can have some.
Your lips are smacking together. I love it. You're excited, aren't you?
I'm excited. I'm talking to you. I'm talking to you, so my mouth waters.
Oh, okay. Well,
wow.
I'm ready for next week. Let's get this wrapped up. Sorry for delaying this, folks. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. I wish I could just tell you how excited I am to have Star Wars back. It might not sound like it, but
we're excited.
I'm relieved. Star Wars is back.
Think about it, guys. If you're one of me or one of Buddha, you had to wait so long to have something new from Star Wars. If you were a prequel fan, you had to wait from 2005 all the way till 2016 to get something back. That's 11 years. If you were a original trilogy fan, you had to wait from 1982, 1983, all the way till 1999.
Yeah, it's crazy.
The wait is no longer that bad. You're going to get new Star Wars. You're going to get your favorite characters. You're going to get original trilogy, new trilogy. You're going to get new people, animated, real live action type of characters, and you get your favorite ones back. And then this is a great time to be a Star Wars fan.
And did you cry at the end of it at all?
I felt a little teary. And you know what? It wasn't what you think it was. It was actually R2. R2 okay. kind of brought it back, because R2 has been at the center of all this. R2 has been our eyes and ears through all of it, through Luke's upbringing, through Anakin's upbringing, through Luke's upbringing, through Rey's upbringing, everything. And you know what's going to happen? And Lady Fett said something. I read her story. The people that aren't going to love the trilogy or didn't like the new sequel trilogy are going to say, man, 10, 15 years from now, are going to say, oh my God, man, I love that. I love that. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, I hope people have more taste than that.
The point is, we're trying to leave on a whimsical note here, Buddha.
Whimsical, yes.
We're gonna feel that. We're gonna feel that.
It's you not should know by now. I don't like certain things in the sequel trilogy.
Regardless,
Rebels. Rebels.
We agree to disagree. We agree to disagree.
Yeah, that's why we love each other.
So that's and exactly we. But we love Star Wars.
Yes,
that's what everybody has to understand. We love Star Wars. That's why we agree to disagree. We hate about this thing. We love about that thing. But we love Star Wars. And that's why we defend it to the teeth. If we could have a Star Wars street fight, gang fight, we'd love it. We could do it.
We're back. We're back. Star Wars is back, baby.
Star Wars is back.
We'll wrap it up. Say goodnight to everyone.
Good night, everybody.
Say goodnight. Good night. Yep. Always fun having you.
Well, everybody, that has been today's episode of the Vodcast. Tune in next time for the review of the next chapter of The Mandalorian. Also, don't forget to head over to Apple Podcasts to subscribe and leave that 5-star review. And feel free to follow us on Instagram at the Vodcast. That's the_VOD_cast. I'm Tyler, co-producer of the Vodcast, saying, this is the way.